You know, it's still strange to me that I can't remember that moment. That I can't remember that moment when I lost or left my original nurturing religious community. That tradition, those churches, that people, those systems of belief. All of those places, even still today, I can't quite pinpoint that moment when I was no longer there. And maybe part of the reason for that is that it wasn't just a single moment, that it was the tradition where I was raised, it was everything, the water I swam in, it was the people who taught me about God. It was the place that I gave my first sermon in a church at the age of 12. Spoiler alert, it was a stinker. It was the place where I was taught who Jesus was and how God moved and acted in the world. It was the place where people came around me. It was the place where I felt heard and seen, at least for some portion of those years. And if you would have asked me at any point in time during that season of my life, if you would have asked me, Brent, would it really stick out to you if you no longer had this tradition? If you no longer had these people, if you no longer recognized yourself as a part of this tradition and this denomination, I would have said, oh my gosh, yes. And still yet, today I can't quite tell you what that moment was when I was no longer a part of that tradition that nurtured and taught me. So maybe it wasn't just a single moment, maybe that's why. Maybe it was a series of moments, a series of small steps, maybe differing of opinions, maybe just seeing some things differently, maybe a few steps that I took away, a few steps that they took away. I'm not really sure. Maybe it's just a little bit like that thing that happens, and although you can't pinpoint it, you know it's occurred. Kind of like that moment when summer becomes fall. We can't quite name it, but we know we're there now, right? Something, something boots, pumpkin spice. I'm not quite sure when it happened, but I know that it did. Can't quite name the moment, but maybe it's not just that it was a series of moments or steps or even one big moment that I can't quite recall for whatever reason, but maybe I can't remember it because, to be honest, that time of leaving that community or that community leaving me, maybe I can't quite remember what that moment was like because, well, there was something really beautiful and wonderful about that time too. Something that I would have never expected or seen on this side of it. But once I was there and once I was forced or maybe given the freedom to, for the first time in my life, to re-examine my beliefs, to think through what I had inherited from my parents, from my father who was a pastor in that tradition, my mom who sang in the choir and we were there every single time the church doors were open, maybe there was something about when I was gone from that for the first time that felt kind of good. Painful, yes, but something about that time that said to me, who are you now? Who is God to you in this place? Something about that in-between space from that original religious community and that day when I found the United Methodist people and finally realized I was home again. Something about that in-between space was painful and difficult, yes. But it was good as well. There was a freedom to it. There was a challenge. There was an honesty. There was a sacredness. There was all of the other people I met that I realized that I had so much in common with because they didn't know what they believed or in whom they believed in those days as well. And yet we all agreed that justice was important and love was important. And I realized that maybe in some senses my community was much larger than my church for the first time. I can't quite remember the moment, the moment where it had happened. But I do know and remember that there was something wonderful and strange about that in-between time where I didn't know who I was or what I believed. There was a sense of wellness that I could not explain. Our scripture passage for this morning from the Gospel of Luke, it takes place in an in-between space. And I mean that literally, spatially, geographically, but also in a lot of other ways as well, as we'll see. It happens in an in-between space, between two communities, two sets of beliefs, two histories and traditions, a place of in-between, not just geographically, but religiously as well, socially, maybe even ethnically, and in some situations, bodily. And we know this because, well, it tells us right from the start where this takes place when Jesus has this encounter with these 10 men who have leprosy. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. Okay, here's a quick tip that you can do to help you be a better scripture reader. If the Bible ever tells you where something takes place, ask a lot of questions about that. The vast majority of the time that scripture tells you where something happens, whether it's in a region between two places, or in a city, or in a temple, or on a lake, or in a wilderness, it's not just sort of telling you, you know, geographically, this is where this happened, like you got to go find directions to get back there. It's telling you something symbolically, religiously. It's saying to everybody, here's the backdrop, here's the context, think about where this happened. And so when it starts at the beginning and it says to us that Jesus was going through a region in between Samaria and Galilee, it's saying to the readers and hearers, think about those in-between spaces. Think about those spaces that aren't here and aren't there yet, but are in between. Think about what happens there. Think about who's at home there. Think about who's been forced there. Think about the fact that Jesus goes there. And that tells us that it's between Samaria and Galilee. This is another big thing that we need to just talk about just a little bit so we understand what the original hearers would have heard. The Samaritans and the Galileans were basically enemies. There was deep hostility between them. The history of that is that long before this moment, many of the Jewish people had been conquered by the Assyrians, and they had been taken into exile into Assyria. And as they had been gone, they were there for about 70 years before finally they were set free, and they began to trickle back to their homes, to the area of Galilee and Judea. But what happened as they returned was that they realized that all of the Jewish people who had not been taken into exile, who had remained, well, their faith had continued. They had changed some about how they worshiped God. They had changed maybe where the synagogues were located. They had even made a change about where they felt like the temple should be built. And so in some senses, when the people were taken away and when they came back, they sort of expected, like we all do if we've ever seen some place that we've been gone from for a little while, we're shocked that it's changed. The first time I went back to my hometown and I was like, I can't believe there's not a Publix on this corner anymore. I thought it was just frozen in time and place. Nothing was going to change if I wasn't there. They came back and they were shocked to see that, well, people had changed. Life had changed. Beliefs had sort of moved and sort of evolved, and people had their own ideas, which led to a lot of hostility. The Samaritans then, and the Galileans who returned, there was a lot of anger and hostility about who God was, about how God was to be worshiped, where God was to be worshiped, and it had led to serious violence. So when Jesus goes between Samaria and Galilee, we should know that this is a little bit of a no person's land. This is an area of hostility, of alarm. And as he goes in this region in between, it says that he entered a village that was there, and 10 men with leprosy approached him. Now, Just like there's a lot to unpack in thinking about what does it mean that he's between Samaria and Galilee, we're going to talk a little bit about leprosy this morning. Original hearers of this story or the readers of it, they would have known exactly what this meant. So let me take a couple of minutes and just kind of explain to you how this would have been viewed and heard. Leprosy was not one's condition. Leprosy was kind of a catch-all for any number of a series of skin conditions whereby you had wounds on your skin that were not caused by some sort of physical damage, something that you could point to. It was unknown. They didn't quite understand what had caused it. And so leprosy, in some senses, it was a little bit unexplainable. It didn't have clear borders, boundaries. And it was then referred to as one of these conditions that they would have referred to as unclean. Now, that's probably the last time, or maybe the second to the last time, that I'm going to use these terms clean and unclean. Because although that is a very good literal translation of how it would have been viewed in ancient Levitical law, it's not really helpful for us today. It has too many other connotations. So in a good way to sort of understand it is that, well, there was some things which were easily categorized, and the borders and boundaries of those were very clear and very explainable, and there were other things that didn't fit neatly into a category. And leprosy was understood to be one of those things because of how it didn't fit exactly in those two places of this or that. And a way to sort of understand this is that within Jewish Levitical law, it was very, very important that things were understood to be separated, that they were to have very clear definitions. One of the best ways to sort of understand this, to give us context for how leprosy would have been viewed and the way that it would understood to be something which would cause someone to be placed outside the community, is with dietary laws. So there was an understanding in the book of Leviticus, in this law, that you could eat fish. And well, what's a fish would be the next sort of common question that someone might ask. A fish is something underwater that has scales and fins. Okay, makes sense, we're all there. What happens the first time that someone catches an eel? It's under the water. It's got fins, but it doesn't have scales. It doesn't fit neatly into this category that we know as fish. And so it would have been labeled as something other, or something, as I said earlier, unclean. Not because it's physically dirty in some way, or not because of some moral reason. It's just a little bit like, that doesn't fit neatly into one of the categories, so let's just leave that out. Same thing for shrimp. Same thing for oysters, which is, you know, pretty reasonable, right? Who's the first person that cracked open a rock from the water and was like, I'm going to eat this? It makes pretty good sense that the law is like, yeah, let's not do that. I don't know what that category is. That's a slime rock. Let's just not do that, okay? Pretty reasonable idea. So within Jewish Levitical law, things can't be in between. There's not a whole lot of space for it or tolerance for it in some way. And I don't mean that in an overly negative way. It's just like maybe to keep the people safe, we have to have a very clear understanding of, is it this or is it that? Categories and borders and boundaries between animal types, between people, between different faiths, religions, and practices, they got to be really, really firm so that we know who we are and where we're headed. All of this is why something like leprosy, where your skin, that thing that would define who you are and the rest of the world, if there are openings in that that are unexplained, there's a nervousness about it. There's a sense in which, well, we're not quite sure what the border and boundary of who you are is anymore. And that woundedness means we're not sure. In a very real sense, those with leprosy, their bodies would have been viewed as being in between. And so when Jesus goes to this place, it says, though, that there's a village. All of the rest of Scripture, as best as I could tell by doing a lot of Googling and a lot of reading, Every other time that Jesus or others in the Hebrew scriptures encounter people with leprosy, the vast majority of the time, they're always described in the negative, in the sense of they were outside of a city, because they were placed outside. They were placed outside of the community, and you could work your way back into the community, but you had to be healed, and then you had to go to a priest, and you had to sacrifice an animal, and you had to shave your head, and you had to ritually wash, and then the next morning you could be returned. But in the vast majority of time, every time people are gathered with leprosy in some sort of gathering, they're always described as outside the city walls. They're described as not being in this community anymore. This is the one place that the scripture does something different. It says that there was a village, which is really, really great when you think about it. In this space between the Samaritans and the Galileans, in this in-between space, the scripture and Jesus do not define those people there in the negative. They have a village. They have a community. They have found each other. Samaritans and Galileans alike, sworn enemies, in this in-between space, they have their own community. They are siblings. They support one another. They know each other. They are gathered in this place together. In the in-between space, those who have been labeled in between by both of their communities, they belong. They have each other. And not only that, but that's where Jesus goes. To those who have been told they are in between. And Jesus enters the village and they approach him. Keeping their distance, they say to him, "Master, Jesus, teacher, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, this is a little confusing. Remember earlier I said, you wouldn't have to be out of the community forever, but if you did want to sort of like be readmitted into the community, come back in the town or the village, if you had been set aside, you had to show that you were clean, and you had to sort of like have all of these sort of like ritual processes that the priest on behalf of the community could recognize that you were well again. But look what Jesus does here. He sends them to the priests before they are well. It's not a small thing that he says priests, because if they return to their communities, the Samaritan will have to go to the Samaritan priest. The Galileans will have to go to the Galilean priests, right? They have to be split up again. Jesus says, "I want you to go because I know you're well already. I want you to start that process and head to the priest." Even before they will have the chance, that moment, to recognize on behalf of your other original communities to say to you, "We know you're well, you can come back in." Even before that moment, he says, "Start walking because I know who you are." And they set out. Each step, not yet made well. And yet, as they went, and we don't get to see the moment, maybe it was a series of moments, they were made well. And they go, and I sort of picture the Galileans leaving the village and going this way, and the Samaritan going this way. But one of them turns back. When seeing that he had been made well, he turns back and he praises God with a loud voice. And he returns to Jesus, and he lays himself down at Jesus' feet. The actual literal translation is he laid on face and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asks, assume not necessarily him, a bit of a monologue for the others gathered, "Where's the others? Were not 10 made well, seen as well? The other 9, where are they? Were none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this one?" And then he says to him this, get up, go on your way. It's your faith that's made you well. Notice how the Samaritan, he doesn't make it to the priest. Jesus is like, get up, go to the priest. The others are like, okay, this is what we're going to do. The Samaritan realizes he's well and he goes back. He goes back to Jesus. He goes back to that in-between place. He goes back to that village where Jesus presumably is still. He goes back there to give thanks. And Jesus is like, where's the other nine? Are you the only one? And I don't want to be harsh on the other nine, that they didn't do what the Samaritan did. Because it's very reasonable and understandable that that village in that time, even though they had wonderful community there, that they crossed these other divides, that they would have sort of been so entrenched, and they found each other in their in-between times and in their woundedness, it still must have been a time somewhat of pain. It wasn't just all happy. It was difficult. So I understand if they didn't want to go back to that place. They can make that decision. But what I like and what Jesus likes is what the Samaritan does. He goes back. He gets halfway down the road to return to that community of his original faith community and those people and that places and his identity there. And he stops and he says, I want to go back to the place. I want to go back to the in-between. I want to go back to Jesus. I want to go back to that place. In some senses, who I was there and what I found in that place with the others who were in between. He goes back to give thanks. But he also goes back, I think, because that's where God found him. That's the place. It never happened like that before for him, I think. It had never happened to him in any other situation. Not the same way that Christ found him in the in-between. And he goes back and he gives thanks there for that place and for the God who finds him and sees him and knows him in that in-between time and in-between space. A couple of weeks ago, we had two different events here at church. One was Get to Know NH United, where we go in the social hall on a Sunday after church, and we just talk about the church. And we invite folks who gather at that thing to hear about the church to share some about maybe how it is that they've come to NH United, even if it's just your first Sunday. How did you come to be here? And another was Faith on Tap. When we gather and we talk about a different theological question or some sort of spiritual consideration, and part of what happens in that, really kind of the lifeblood, is that people get to share who they are and where they've been. And something came out through both of those events. One of the joys of being a pastor is you get to hear resonances of things from people in different situations and circumstances, almost like a refrain in a movie soundtrack. You get to hear it in different ways, but you know there's something that's happening there. And one of the things that I could not help but hear in both of those events from so many people was how many of us in this church feel like we are in an in-between time. Then in a very real sense, we've left our original religious communities. And those beliefs and that identity. And we're not quite sure what's next. But we found another group of people in the in-between. We found other folks there who are maybe not quite sure what we believe. Some of us not quite sure in whom we believe. Not quite sure about this term Christian. Particularly when we hear how Christian white nationalists use that same term. We're not quite sure what's next for us, for this nation, for who we are, for our faith. We're somewhere in between. And yet, as every person shared in some different way about how they were in somewhere in between, something happened. Which is, you find that community of the other folks in between. The way the Samaritans and the Galileans did in that village. And you realize you're not alone. And you realize, in some way you could have never expected or dreamed, that you're well. That you're okay. It's all right. No, you don't know. And no, it doesn't make sense. And you can't quite see or know what the next thing will be. And maybe there won't be. Maybe your place will be the community in between. And you will return to that time in your life to give thanks. It is my prayer for us, in each way, that all of us might in some foundational way identify with being in between. That we might give thanks for that time. That you might remember the God who finds you in that place. That you might know and realize it is your faith that is making you well through the glory of God. Amen.